Valley with Tony Simpson, Ryan Champion and Jack Bennion.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally. It's good to be back. It's always good to be back, but it's a bit of an occasion which I hadn't realised. I mean, we actually picked up on this the other day thanks to the wonderful world of Facebook and timeline things, and when you can look back on your time, stuff like that. Absolute Rally is actually 12 months old this week. Just thought I'd put it out there. We've been Absolute Rally now for 12 months with Ryan Champion. So happy birthday, Ry.
Thank you.
That's my second birthday.
It's your second birthday. Well done. Well done. You did a cracking job. When was your first birthday?
I had my own birthday, didn't I? And then this is obviously another birthday.
Right. Okay. All right. Now, we need to. The reason why I've introduced you first this week is because we've got a little bit of a celebrity with us these days. Of course, we have Jack Bennion, of course, from Motorsport News, and just various fame these days. Out of all three of us, he's the only man who does have a fan following. There's Jack Bennion fan club now on Twitter. If you check that out, who've been sending us some quite intrusive tweets, wanting to find out what Jack's up to and whether we can get life size pictures and cutouts and things like that. So Jack, we thought we might have to go through your people to get to you today. You've come to us directly. We do appreciate that. So welcome back to Absolute Rally for week two of season five.
Thank you very much. I'm very very excited to be here, and my people told me that this is a good show, so hopefully it does a lot for my reputation.
Well, clearly it has already, judging by your recent news.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, congratulations, of course, Jack, on your new job. What is your official title now?
My official title is Group National Editor.
Wow. Do we need to stand up while we record this podcast?
Absolutely not.
Okay, that's all right then. That's all right then. Right, have you got anything to add to do you want to wish Jack all the best, or you just don't give a hoot?
I think I already did it on social media.
I think
Jack's done a very good job. I do. Time he's been with MN, and he shares the passion, and good luck to him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Enough of the loving now, because as I say, we don't want to get in too nice, do we?
Let's talk rallying.
Thank you, Jack. Right on cue. Right, before we go to the main, we're going to be having Chris Meek coming up a little bit later on. And as ever, we always kind of go through chronologically with you guys, Jack. And the big story, I suppose, rally story this week on, well, we've been relegated back to the page 12 again this week. But Chris is pushing for an outer on Rally GB. Of course, we'll talk to him about that a little bit later on. But tell us a little bit about this story, and maybe our listeners who are not aware of what's going on with the DS3 program towards the end of this year.
Yeah, this is great, because you've got Chris on there. You can get the absolute word off him. But yeah, we've got a little story about Chris wanting to do Rally GB. Apparently at the minute it's set to be Craig Breen and Stefan Lefebvre, and potentially a third car for Khalid Arkasemi. So that's the kind of lineup that we're expecting for GB, and Chris wants to get out there because the gap in between competing at Monte Carlo is going to be quite big if he doesn't get out again this year. So that's a one that Chris is targeting, and judging by his performances this year, there's no reason why he couldn't be a challenger for a win there.
Absolutely. Now, I feel like we're going from Hyundai corner to Citroen corner over the past couple of weeks. Obviously, we had the lovely Craig Breen with us last week, and we're going to have Chris with us this week. We've opened with the headline about Chris. Now, the story below that, Jack, and one which I think we muted this one the other week when we were talking about silly season, is the door could be open for Thierry Neuville to return to Citroen.
Yeah, David Evans has spoke to Yves Matton about what he's planning to do next year, and we know Citroen, they very keep the cards close to the chest, if you like, until they're ready to make their announcements. But he's definitely said that an option for next year could be Chris and Thierry. So yeah, that could be an interesting lineup, and I'm sure that'd be one that'd be very difficult for the others to deal with.
Right, they say never go back, but it does seem to, in most sports, it's kind of that story. But in rallying, it's quite a common occurrence, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly can be. We've talked about Thierry Neuville a lot, haven't we, over the last year or so. He was clearly a fantastic talent a couple of years back. He's showing, showing flashes of that again now, really. But he's had a difficult time of it. But I think somewhere under there, he's a driver of great potential. And Matton, we all have to take our hat off to him. It's Matton that saw the potentially in Chris Meek all the way through, and stuck by Chris Meek until he saw the rewards from that. And you know, he clearly has a soft spot for Neville. He clearly sees that there's more performance in him. He's obviously he's fluent in many languages, but he's French speaking as well, which would go down well with Citroën, I'm sure. So you know, we'll just have to watch this one. But I guess he sees something in Neville that hasn't been unlocked yet.
Do we need to think about in the story, Jack? There's reference to Yves Maton managing four top line drivers in the touring car program, and obviously he's making reference to the fact, you know, having Chris and Thierry, kind of sees them on a level playing field. Does that make life? I don't know whether that does that add pressure to Thierry coming back, do you think, or does that just take the weight, some of the pressure off Chris if he did come back? You know, I don't know. It's weird now, because obviously since Thierry's gone from Citroën, you know, Chris has kind of worked his way up, and they've almost, again, dare I say, and I guess we'll ask him about this later on, you know, almost built the team around them the way they did, you know, with the Lord that was Loeb. You know, would Thierry be able to handle, do you think, coming back into that type of environment?
I think now Chris has won Finland in the way he did, I think anyone coming in is going to be threatened by Chris and his pace. I think, you know, he's done enough now that he's proven that that pace is there. And, you know, the Portugal win wasn't a flash in the pan. That Finland win was absolutely dominant. So I think any driver coming in is going to be a bit worried. But, you know, Thierry's, he's a personality, isn't he? He's very confident in his own ability. And I don't think he'd have too much trouble competing with Chris. I think it'd be an interesting lineup, definitely.
Now, one man that wouldn't be threatened to join Citroën as Chris's teammate, it seems, by some of the comments that have come out, is Jos Capito. we've bounced back to Chris again here, but it was something I kind of wanted to lead into anyway. I'm going to come to Ryan first on this one. I'm just going to say sour grapes.
Well, we've seen it before, haven't we? Capito's always trying to get a reaction out of people for his own gains. You know, this is just Capito having a dig at the FIA again, saying this isn't fair, we're being penalised. And it just, you know, unfortunately it happens to be Chris Meek he's using this time. I mean, I think we know Capito's a fan of Chris Meek. It's nothing personal. He's just trying to use that result again to get his own means. And I think this is one last stab at him trying to get the rules changed before he disappears to Formula One.
Jack, I'm still going with sour grapes. How about you?
I don't know if I'd say sour grapes. I think, you know, I kind of agree with Ryan there. It's just another stab at trying to get the rules changed. And, you know, he can see how much money BMW are putting into their program, and they probably feel hard done too that they're not winning every rally because they've got the best car. So in that, when you look at it in that respect, you know, it's easy to see why Capito's getting angry. But coming out consistently in public is probably not the best way to do it.
That said, who's leading the manufacturers?
Yeah.
Who's leading the drivers? You know, it's, you know, that's, I guess, yeah, that's where it is. We all know the running order needs looking at and everything else, but you can only work with the rules that you've got and everything else. And all said and done, we keep saying this, they're still the team to beat, and you know, Ogier is still the driver. You know, I think every other driver in the world would swap with them at the moment. So hey ho. Now, one driver which is brings us quite nicely round. We go back to Hyundai corner, and a little bit of a PC on Hayden Paddon. I think Thierry suffered the same issues on Finland, Jack. Paddon believes Hyundai's Finland setup can't be cured this year.
Yeah, he says it's a geometry thing. It's something they can't really sort on the car this year, so it looks like it's going to be an issue that's going to sort of keep coming back. But it'll be interesting to see whether it's just a, you know, Finland related problem, because we've not heard too much about it earlier in the year. We've heard sort of mumblings of it, but not consistent complaints over an entire rally like we got off Hayden and Thierry in Finland. So it'll be interesting to see whether the other rallies highlight the problem again, or whether it sort of disappears.
Right, can a gravel setup for Finland be so different from other gravel rallies that car's done?
Well, it's a very high-speed event, isn't it? And very high-speed corners, I guess, in some ways higher than any other event. But they tested that car extensively, didn't they? You know, and they'd done a lot of testing in Finland with it. So it's strange to see them come into the rally and having those issues actually on the event as if they'd never discovered it before. So I just wonder if something's changed during the development of the car to bring them to that position, because it's strange that they've never found this before.
Mm, absolutely, absolutely. A little bit of international flavour news now. I'm stepping away briefly from MN headlines, and I just wanted to. It was. I don't know whether it could actually fall into my any other business. I realise I've probably done all my any other business now without realising it, but. It was APRC at the weekend, and we're going to be having Peter Whitten on from Rally Sports Magazine again probably next month. And of course, we round up all these things with APRC, and we'll talk about the Tasmanian Rally as well and the Australian Rally Championship. I just had a little bit of a glance through some things, and I guess both you guys will appreciate this, but it was a name that I'd not seen on a let alone winning a rally, but certainly on it was just kind of a strange car as well. I've done some work with him in the past, or nearly done some work with him. Manfred Stoll winning the China Rally. Right, I'll come to you first. I didn't even realise he was still driving.
Well, he's been doing rallycross, hasn't he, recently? You know, we've seen him in World Rallycross trying to get into that championship, but it hasn't been doing all the rallies. And then China's become it's become a destination that quite a lot of the regular, shall we say, regular frontline drivers from the British Championship or British drivers that were competing regularly here that have struggled to get drives have gone to China. So we're still seeing the likes of Mark Higgins out there, Niall McShay out there, who really should be competing regularly here, but the money's not there. Chris Atkinson's competing regularly in China, and now we're seeing Manfred Stoll. So it's a championship where drivers can still earn some money playing their trade, which let's face it, doesn't happen in many places now.
No, I say what I was more surprised about, what he was running. Now I suppose Manfred had that. I seem to remember Manfred in Evos, and then I remember him. Didn't he have runs in the Peugeot 307? Didn't he have a program in that?
He did, as Henning Solberg's teammate
in Bosnian Racing or something like that. He ran the program.
Was it Zara as well? He did have a Zara as well.
He did have a Zara after that. Yeah. But I didn't realise there was that many DS3R5s in existence, because they seem to be coming out of the woodwork slowly but surely. Funny enough, I was looking at the results from Poland, and we've got Chris Rawls coming up from ERC Radio a little bit later on in the podcast, and we were talking about the cars that were in it. But obviously, Brian Bouffier was second overall in a DS3R5 there, and we've got now a couple competing over in China. I genuinely thought, guys, I'll come to you, Jack, first, and you're probably going, no, but I honestly didn't think, I just thought it was just kind of Skodas and Fiestas everywhere in the world, but the Citroen seems slowly but surely be coming out.
Yeah, they seem to be, I think in Europe, more extensively, they've been around there, haven't they, and maybe just people just don't want to pick them up in the UK. I mean, we've seen Johnny Greer with one, haven't we, and Keith Cronin, and more recently Craig Breen for his ties with Citroen, but it's an interesting one, isn't it, why more haven't been picked up in the UK and sort of Central Europe, because they seem to be quite popular in parts of Europe and now obviously China, but yeah, it's an interesting one.
Just to come in and using the brilliant resource that is EWRC, Citroen have actually built nearly 50 DS3 R5s now.
This is Absolute Rally. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 441904-766-787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
And welcome back to Absolute Rally. By the way, people, if you are listening on headphones and you're in the gym, or if you're walking, you're out walking the dog, again, keep telling us where you do this. I've kind of stopped asking you that. But you might have heard Ryan tapping away in the background, and I knew he was doing something. You could just hear these little pitter-patter of keys going, and that's what it was. Thanks, Ryan. No, it's good. Now, I'm sticking with R5, and the reason why I'm sticking with R5 is... a guy that you know really, really well, and we've nearly had them on a few times, right? Our overseas listeners, perhaps, not fully au fait with Gary Jennings, but Gary was a front runner in the Peugeot 1 Makes Championships over here in the UK a few years back, and he went back home, and he's been probably one of them, the men to beat on Irish tarmac, and he's one that's kind of stuck fast with I suppose the old Subaru. I think it's an S11 I think he's got, but he will be out in an R5 Mirage. Now again, I'll come to this, I was talking to the guys on the final, well, the last round of the British Rally Championship, where I was talking to the guys who were running one there. They still seem very adamant that they're going to get this car homologated one way or the other, and I guess to find out how quick it is on tarmac, right? You couldn't have put a better person in, really.
No, like you said, Gary will be a good yardstick to see in that car. He was, as you said, a very quick driver in the 1 Mate Championships. He actually competed in the 106 Cup against myself and Chris Meek and Rory Gallagher. And then he won the 206 Championship, drove for the factory Peugeot team for a while before going back to the Irish Tarmac Championship, as he said. And Gary's very, very quick. Had some great results in the Subaru over the last few years, and now in the Mitsubishi on Ulster. So it will be interesting to see what his pace is compared to the other established R5 cars, particularly on tarmac, because tarmac development probably takes a little bit longer. The car's got to be a little bit, got to be working very well on tarmac to compete. So it'll be interesting to see how his times compare.
Now, one car that won't be out, Jack, I'll come to you on this one. There was a little rumour, it wasn't a massive rumour, possibly of Hyundai running his car zero on Ulster. That's not going to happen now.
Yeah, I spoke to Andre Admos, the R5 chief at Hyundai, and he's gives a bit of a lowdown on what the plan for the car is after the homologation and stuff like that. So, good to speak to the man in charge, who's in control of everything, and he's quashed that rumour, saying it's never been it's never been part of their plans to send the car over to the Ulster at all.
Oh, there you go. Right, boys, moving on. I suppose we should. We're gonna skip back to a little bit of international news, and it's Rally Cyprus offering. What was it called, Ryan, in IRC when it was an IRC round? I seem to remember there was prize money put up. And Andreas won it. I seem to remember he was in a Hankook Fiesta Super 2, and he did this power stage thing that had all the money on it, and they actually ran. They took the Hankook livery off, and I think he ran on Michelin's or something like that, and he won the money.
The golden stage, wasn't it?
That's it. Well, I think something very similar has come back. Jack, I'll bring you in. £50,000, I assume it's British pounds as opposed to Cypriot pounds, for a stage prize offered on Cyprus.
That's right, yeah, it's called the Golden Stage again, same kind of thing, and it's won, another person who's won it before is Thierry Neuville in 2011. So this year it's going to be a run over two stages, mixed surface, and the fastest person, well, the person with the lowest time, obviously, over the two stages will become the winner.
There you go. Well, whatever it takes, obviously we're going to be doing a little bit of ERC coverage with Chris Rawls a little bit later on, so we kind of started leading into this anyway, but a couple of other bits and pieces before we move on, gents. Jack is a friend of the show, and I've not had a chance to catch up with him this week. I was hoping to catch up with him, but Chris Ingram seems to be having some issues, funding issues, and obviously he's still kind of scheduled to be doing Germany and Bahrain, but I know he's had a little bit of a push to try and get some funding in.
That's right. Well, he's been talking about doing Germany for a while, hasn't it? It was part of the original Opel program when he signed up, but it's always been one that he said that he'd have to raise the funding to do, and that's why we kind of haven't ran a story on it at all until now. And I spoke to him late last week, and he thinks he's pretty much ready to go, and it shouldn't be an issue for him to get there. So nice to see Chris doing that, and it'll be a difficult couple of weekends for him with Bahrain the weekend after in the European Rally Championship. So he's got back-to-back events, but it should be an interesting one to see where he's at in terms of pace with the Drive DMAT Trophy boys being there, and some of the other few guys being there. Griebel's massively quick in Germany as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we'll go back to, I suppose, ERC. I don't know whether it's going to be an ERC event next year, but one event that has been renowned in IRC and ERC is Ypres, which is now part of the British Rally Championship. A little bit later on, we're going to have Ian Campbell, BRC Championship Manager, join us, who's going to talk us through the calendar and the thought process behind it. But boys, what's your reaction, Rye, first?
Well, we talked about Ypres, didn't we, a few weeks ago when it was rumoured to be coming to the championship. An incredible event, a great event that, you know, for those British drivers that haven't been before, it will be an amazing experience. There'll be a really good entry of local cars, whether it's an ERC entry or not. There's always a fantastic overall entry and good strength in depth for Ypres. So it really is a sort of jewel in the crown to have that in the calendar. And like I said, I think the experience that the British guys going over there will gain from that will be invaluable.
Jack, you and I both were in the meeting where this was originally discussed. We can kind of speak about it now, I guess. You know, I had some fears at the time. While I appreciate what the event is and the history and the uniqueness of it, it's kind of grown on me, the thought of going to do it. Not that we'll be doing the BRC probably next year, but as I've said in previous podcasts, but the concept of going over to do that rally, I would be interested to see whether there is the incentives that have been there before to go and do it, because I think that will dictate just how many BRC's crews go there.
I think another thing that's come out recently that really pushes this forward even more, I mean, you know, I've made my views on this very clear. I think it's a brilliant opportunity for the championship to go and open itself up to some international drivers. But I think the thing that's come out recently is obviously with the circuit not running next year, that takes away another event where you need to ship a car over somewhere. And I think for probably 80% of the people in the UK, it's cheaper to go to Ypres than it is to go to the circuit. Obviously, it's not ideal that the circuit's not running, and we'd love to have that on the calendar. But with that missing, I think it makes Ypres even more attractive in terms of cost for some of the smaller competitors as well.
Ian, we'll talk about this a little bit later on, but it's going to be a confusing weekend, whatever it is, because you've got BRC and BRC. So it's going to be a confusing weekend. Belgian Rally Championship, they use that. I think they use that acronym as well as
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting weekend. Right, boys. We've blasted through the news like I wanted to do. We've got quite a lot going on in the program. We're going to have Chris Mead coming up very shortly. Then we're going to have we've got Chris Rawls, as I say, who's going to be covering Poland for us. A two-parter with Chris, because we're going to be doing bits and pieces about Rally Poland, and then we're also going to be doing some bits and pieces with regards to how Rally Radio works, which is going to be part of Ulster, which is the next round of the British Rally Championship, and just how the technology works behind it as well. And we've got Mike Shaw from Open Paddock, man who writes a blog and does quite a lot on Twitter and stuff, all about what's going on in the Rally America Championship. Boys, I don't know whether you've picked up on what's going on over there, but I was slightly confused by it, and I've decided to get Mike to kind of simplify it, right, I think is probably the best way of putting it.
I've only seen, you know, brief little bits and pieces, but obviously there is a little bit of a power struggle going on from what I've seen, isn't there?
Yeah. You got an 8-round championship, and 4 of the events have decided to go to the new people, which is Tim O'Neill behind Team O'Neill, of course, who are quite well connected with M Sport over there, you got the original championship still running, and it kind of looked like when it was first announced that the original people, the original organisers, were going to kind of hand it over, and there was a lot of goodwill and everything, and then they put out a press release within 36 hours saying, no, we're not going anywhere. So all a little bit awkward. Jack, I don't know whether you picked up on that, but it could be an interesting story for a man of your calibre these days.
Yeah, no, I have picked up on some of the stuff that's going on over there, and it does seem to be a bit confusing at the minute. I'll be looking forward to listening to the podcast back on Wednesday, and hopefully learning a bit more about it. But yeah, not much more to add than what you've said there. It seems to be that those events have broken away, and there's a bit of a threat of another championship opening up and all that sort of thing. So always interesting when that kind of thing happens, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Now, boys, if I can pull your any other business from you, Jack Bennion.
Yeah, sure. Mine's a bit of a sad one this week. I wanted to point out the passing of Mick Jones, which some people internationally may not know Mick very well, but he's one of the only sort of famous mechanics, really, if you like, isn't he, Mick Jones? He died at 83, and he was a foreman at Boreham when the escorts were sort of when they were really popular and Ford were really pushing hard with their rally program. Went out to South Africa and did a lot over there. And he's passed away, unfortunately. And he's one of the only famous, really famous mechanics. I know I said it earlier, but I think it's, you know, we don't seem to get many of them anymore. And Mick was someone really revered in the UK. And he was one of the people involved in that quite famous incident where they pulled a differential out of a Capri, didn't they, and put it in Harry Vatanen's car.
Harry Vatanen's car.
Yeah, in 76 on the Scottish. So, sad to see Mick's passing, and just wanted to point that out.
No, fair play. Rye?
Mine takes us away from rallying very slightly to the world of off-road. If anybody's seen my Twitter feed this week, I've been testing some of the cars from the British Cross Country Championship, and a really interesting championship. That they're effectively space frame silhouette cars, if you like. And I tested one this week with M3 power and then the other one with Mitsubishi Evo running gear, both in the region of 450 horsepower, absolute rocket ships, and great fun to drive. So a little bit different branch of the sport, but some of the events they compete on are run exactly the same as a rally, just in theory the terrain's a little bit rougher. So it was quite an interesting venture to drive those cars, and like I say, very, very impressive.
We did kind of retweet it and put it out there, and John Bennett Evans, of course, the man who owns Street Lamb, he'd been up filming you and stuff like that, so I had a little bit of a watch. Right, looked like you knew what you were doing. Has to be said.
Well, you just kind of work it out as you go along. But they, like I said, they all seem to have their own slightly different characters. The M3 engine car just sounds incredible, you know, just real high-pitched whirl of the straight six engine. But the Evo powered machine was just so quick, just instant torque. And I have to say, lots of fun to drive those cars in a world of very constrained, restricted rallying. When you can drive a 450 horsepower monster, then I have to say, I did nothing but smile driving those cars.
You understand why Andy Burton did what he did now?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I said at one point. I said it just made me feel like Andy Burton driving them, because I can certainly understand the buzz he got from driving his car, because they're very similar machines.
Now, my area of business this week, I had several, and I've kind of mentioned a couple of them as we've gone on. The Jack Benyon Fan Club, folks, search it out. It's nothing to do with us, nor affiliated with Absolute Rally in any way, shape or form, but they're quite passionate people, whoever they are behind it. And Jack, possibly start looking at, just Google the World Injunction.
Whoever came up with that Twitter account, I'm going to hunt them down in a Liam Neeson style Taken.
I don't care who you are, what you want.
I will find them. I will find who has started this Twitter account. I will.
I'd possibly, as I say, Google the word injunction, because I think you may need one. My any other business is I finally moved into my house, and I finally set up my play seat and everything for my PlayStation. And as I mentioned last week, now I've managed to have a good few days now of playing dirt. And I unfortunately went into a stage last night where I encountered a champion sign more than on one occasion, ripping a wheel off. So Ryan, my any other business is, you bar steward, your bloody signs cost me some serious time last night.
Well, all I can say is you've got to drive accordingly, haven't you? It's all right coming to a corner and trying to go around it as fast as you can, but if the corner's too tight, you'll crash, won't you?
That's a UR Kankana quote, isn't it? From a
few
years ago.
The speed was correct. The corner was too tight. Yeah, that sounds a bit like you, that Tony.
Well, thanks, mate. Thanks for the encouragement. And thanks for showing us some love. Anyway, guys, that's the end of the music section. Jack, are you about next week, or have we got to go through your people?
No, I'll come direct.
Okay, thanks very much. There's an image I really didn't want at the end of this particular section, but still, there you go. Jack Benyon, you've been a legend, and we will see you next week. At this point, Ryan and I are going to go over to a little break, and then we're going to come back with Rally Finland winner and friend of the show, and someone we can't wait to speak to, Chris Meek.
Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic tourism,
touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 441904-766-787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. Thanks for Jack Bainham for joining us in the first section, going through the news headlines. As I say, I wanted to cross very quickly. We wanted to get rid of you, Jack. What can I say? I know you're listening back because we had Chris Meek waiting. So, Chris, welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Thanks, Tony. Pleasure to be back on.
Good man. Now, Ryan Champion's here. I know you know Ryan quite well, but he's had lots of questions for Ashley from Finland, so I'm going to hand you over to Ryan for the time being.
Well, firstly, thanks for joining us from Andorra when you're having a bit of relaxation time. So thank you for spending a bit of time with us.
No problem. You know what my relaxation time's like, Ryan, from our times in Barbados. So sometimes you mightn't refer to it as relaxation, but yeah, we're having a bit of fun out here with the family.
Yeah, I did see a Twitter conversation about hire cars this week. I referring to comment. But anyway, moving on. Finland was a fantastic weekend for you. Nearly the perfect weekend from start to finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, I have to say it. Portugal was special. Okay, we dominated it from start to finish, but you know, we had a very good row position there on the slippery events. Everyone knows in Finland, row position is not so important, although as other people think otherwise. But yeah, to be honest, on the lead up to Finland, it had been very wet. It did dry up during the week of the rally, but you know, my three previous years in the DS3, it's hard to believe this was my fourth in the DS3. So yeah, it was about time I got my finger out. But the previous years, when I really, really put my head down, stretched myself to the limit in Finland, it's all I could have done, match Seb or Yari on a stage. And then on another stage, you thought you had a good rhythm and they would always pluck 3 or 4 seconds. And by the time Saturday afternoon came, you were always 10 or 12 behind. And in Finland, that's a lot of time to catch up when you know you can't make a difference. And this year just seemed to be the other way around. It seemed when I was able to put the hammer down, I was able to make a difference to Yari. And for sure, he had his problem early on with the puncture. He lost 12 or 15 seconds. But, I knew this one part I knew that maybe we could do something was the stage directly after where Yari had the puncture on the Friday. We went into Serki, which is Yari's favourite stage in Finland. And he always been incredibly fast in there. No one's really been able to match him. He holds a stage record. And yeah, I knew he would come fighting back immediately after that puncture. So I decided on that stage, even though I'd got a bit of a gap, I had to put the hammer down to see if I could at least, you know, match him or do whatever. And yeah, we went quickest by 3 seconds over Yari. So only then did I really suspect that, oh, we could do something here, you know. So yeah, the rhythm just felt good. But I think it's a combination of a lot of things, just building up the experience, getting a nice contract going forward, commitment from the team, knowing what's coming next year. To be fair, we're not in the championship this year and we can just turn up to the rallies and be relaxed. So I think a lot of things coming together, and when you're not mood to ride into Finland, it's the best possible place to be to drive fast.
Well, you just answered my next question there, really, of how things come together to move forward. But like you said, at incredible speed, the fastest ever average speed on a WRC event as well. That takes some believing with the history of the sport. Did it feel like you were travelling as quick as you clearly were?
Yeah, that was a... I'm not big into statistics, but that was a special one, to be the fastest ever average speed over a World Championship rally. Yeah, it felt really good all weekend, you know, and when you're in that zone and when you're in that special place in the car where you feel at one with the car, it tends to feel slow motion at times. And I don't want to say that in a way that offends people, but yeah, when you're not really good place, you know, you can make things happen. And you've just got that sixth sense that you could see through the blind corners, you could see over the crest, you knew exactly where to position the car. And everything come together. I think it's just a combination of many things like before. So yeah, we had to enjoy the moment. Like I said to Paul, after we came over the finish line, we're in the road section on the way back, when you've had a little bit of calm in the car, I said, we're really going to have to enjoy this and appreciate it, because I honestly don't know how over a rally weekend you could top that. You know, to win Rally Finland for your first team, the first ever British-Irish guy to win Rally Finland, and to have the fastest ever average speed, and to win on them, probably, you know, that really got us the result in the rally. We're supposed to put the time in the area first run through. So, yeah, it's going to be hard to imagine how we could top that over a course of a weekend, you know.
Well, like you said, not only, you know, the first British or Irish winner, so you know, your good friend Colin McRae never managed it, Richard Burns never managed it, but also names like Toivonen, Rall, and even Bjorn Valdegard never won in Finland. You're finally doing stuff that you knew you could do, we all hoped you could do. Is it nice now just to finally be able to concentrate on driving the car and doing the rallies and almost having to forget about proving yourself?
I think that's you're hitting the nail on the head. All my career, other than the Peugeot times in IRC, I never knew what I was doing over a full season. Even when I started my Citroën time at Citroën, my 2014 contract wasn't a full one. I had to prove myself in the first five or six rallies to get the second half of the season. So every time I'm sitting in a car, you're nervous, thinking if I make a mistake, my career could be over. If I, you know, but I need to pass to prove myself, and you haven't the experience. And throughout all my career in the junior days, it was like that through, you know, many, many times. It has been like that. And only now that I've managed to get myself a 3-year contract going forward, and, you know, Citroën are refocusing their efforts on World Rally, to be a part of the new project with a new car, it just settles you down. You're turning up. You don't, you know, for me now, I don't have to prove my speed to anybody. I just turn up and enjoy it. And like I said at the finish line of Rally Finland, you know, sometimes during that weekend, I felt like just like a little kid back in my quad bike at home playing about a field. I just really enjoyed it, and I think that's the key. But it's a long, hard road to get to that position. Where you can have a commitment from a manufacturer going forward, and you have to go through all those growing pains and get through all those phases to get there. But now we have to make the most of it, and I think this year has been very, very good for me. So we have to learn, we have to take from this experience and hopefully carry it through to be able to fight for a championship.
Now, one man who didn't like your speed in Finland is the VW boss, Jos Capito. Now, firstly, we know he's an admirer of yours. He's said that in public. But surely this is just him having a stab, trying to get the rules changed, isn't it?
I've known Jos a long time. And, you know, he made some comments before Finland. And, I spoke with Jos in Finland. We had a good laugh about it. And, you know, he came to me after the rally and congratulated me. So I know they have an agenda. They want the rules changed, and if he uses me to try and achieve that, fair enough. But yeah, I had a good laugh at his comments, you know. And you know, I take strength from it, you know, because if everyone's talking about what you're doing, that's a good thing. So better that way than them never mentioning, you know, because whatever the comments, if they're talking about you, it's good, you know.
And been a Steve McQueen fan myself, then I loved your comment on Twitter as well. I thought that was the brilliant reply that was.
I had to make a little remark. I couldn't let him go and think he could won over me. But I'm a big fan of Steve McQueen in the past. Watched all the films and enjoyed what he'd done. It was nice to use one of his famous pictures to just make a little bit of smart.
Yeah, and you never know. You might want some tickets for a Grand Prix, so, you know, it's worth keeping in contact with Jos.
It is. No, I still have good respect for Jos. You know, he's okay. It's good for the championship as well. You know that there's, you know, we can have this little bit of banter and stuff. You know, and for sure, I take a laugh at it and take strength from it. So the more he can say things like this, it'll help me for the future.
Now, you mentioned 2017 there. You're already heavily into testing the 2017 car. You know exactly what you're doing for next year. But how are things coming on with the new car? And just give us some sort of comparison between the two cars. Just is there any comparison, or is it just like driving a completely different machine?
It's yeah, it's fascinating to be involved in a new project right from the very beginning. You know, I remember even before, yeah, it was even before this year, at the end of last year, I was in the factory sitting in a completely bare body shell with all the engineers around getting your ideas of exactly where you wanted the seat position, steering wheel position, before the roll cage was even built into the car, you know. So to be involved in a project like that from the very beginning and to grow with the car, now we're probably through the middle phase of the development and the testing, and it's fascinating, you know. The last... Very gas, you know, it's full on. Turn up, there's a lot of engineers turning up, and everybody's hungry for information, really pushing. So, yeah, it's fantastic. And like you say, the cars will change next year. We have a new set of regulations to work to. And to be honest, we haven't done any back to backs because it's not necessary. When you're dealing with the new regulations, it doesn't matter how the car compares to the DS3. It only matters when we get into competition how it compares to the other manufacturers, and we just have to concentrate and do the best job possible. For sure, we have to take the ingredients of what we know works in the DS3, and we also have to think outside the box to try and improve in areas where we know we're not so strong. So the cars next year are fascinating. They're, for me, they're a little bit of a tip of the hat to the old era of Group B. Everyone remembers these with golden eyes, and I think it is with a new aerodynamic package. The bigger wings are going to look a lot more aggressive for sure. The bigger restrictor in the turbo gives them a lot more power. We have a centered diff, which will change the attitude of the cars a little bit, and a wider track, which obviously with a wider wheel track, the corner speeds will increase a little bit. So, but for me, they're fascinating to drive. But like I said, we have no direct comparison. And for me, the comparison is not important to the current World Rally cars.
Now, what some people probably don't realise is they see Chris Meek as a fantastic WRC driver, but your background is in engineering. So you must love this. But leading one of the best teams in the world, engineering a brand new car, that just must be perfect for you.
Yeah, well, I grew up, my father was involved in building rally cars for 30 years, and I grew up in his workshops, and I followed my father's footsteps at the beginning of my career. I qualified to university. I went to work for M Sport as an engineer, and I was there for 2.5-3 years before I met Colin, and he gave me the opportunity at the British Championship. And yeah, I've always enjoyed that side of it. I've always said Sebastian Loeb was 9-times world champion, and he wasn't his engineer, so it doesn't necessarily help me drive a rally car fast, but what I will say is it allows me to enjoy the aspects of the sport, which some people may find, you know, a bit tedious, a bit boring, doing all those thousands of kilometres testing. For me, I enjoy every minute of it. I enjoy every day. I enjoy the debriefs. I enjoy working with engineers. And if my background helps me enjoy that side of the sport and have an extra input, you know, it has to benefit me in some way. So, but yeah, I just really enjoy working with a bunch of people like this who are so motivated. They have so much experience over the years. You know, history, Sipton's history in the World Rally Championship over the last 15 to 20 years is second to none. And I think and hope we can do something good in the future.
Chris, I've got to ask you, I've watched your in-car back from Finland a few times now, and it's mind-blowing to watch. I'm not just saying because, you know, I've said this to, you know, I've encouraged people who are not into the sport to go and watch it to say, this is it. This is what the story of rallying is all about. I had a guy I do business with over in the States send me a video saying, have you seen this? Of course I've seen it. You know, it's like, yeah. that's how the effect around the world it's had. Now, we all go rallying. And we're all fans of rallying and everything else. But one thing I truly, truly can't get my head around from Finland and that very, very special stage is the information in your notes. And I tried to watch it on the pretense of listening to it as a driver. And within about 3-4 Ks, I was thinking, I could just do with left and right at this point. Because I don't know how you take in all the other information with the left and right. Is there a secret to it? Can you really compute all that information that Paul's giving you?
I think it's purely down to experience. You know, some of the best drivers in the world, talented drivers like Kimi Räikkönen or Robert Kubica come to rally, and one of the biggest obstacles is pace notes, and it just takes years. You can't shortcut that. You can't buy your way through it. If you simply have to serve your time and making notes, and when you get into a World Rally car, it's different again because the speeds are higher and you have to adjust and you have to take some information out because you simply can't compute it, like you say. But in Finland, it becomes even more of a challenge because it's so fast, but you need all the detail in places to position yourself correctly on the road. And especially when you're going to a new stage as fast as Onampoja, I think the average speed was 131 through there. And it's crazy. It's completely crazy. But to be honest, I think it's something that's a connection between the driver, co-driver. Paul knows the road as well as I do, albeit it was a new road, but we both done the recce, we've studied the videos, we went through all the information in the notes five or six times. We put a lot of preparation in between the recce and the rally to getting it right. And like I say, Paul knows exactly where he is in the stage without even looking up, and he's able to feed you just at the perfect time. And this is the key to a successful partnership in a rally car. It's not just the driver. And yes, I have to be able to process the information as well, but it does it. When it's all working and you're in that zone and it's happening, it's just simply coming in and you don't even have to think. It's all happening and you just live in the moment. And yeah, it's a special feeling when it all comes together. But like we know in Finland, if one of those details from the recce's wrong, you're going to have a monumental accident, like we've seen some over the weekend in Finland. And Eric Camille had a crazy accident, and that was simply down to a pace note error. So like I say, an accident can be waiting for you from the Tuesday on Rally Finland, but that's where you have to be on your game from the beginning of the week. And yeah, it all worked. It all worked during that week for us, and we certainly enjoyed it.
At the end of that recce, though, and again to take you back before the event, was there a satisfaction? Did you know this is a really good set of notes? Obviously, you've got previous experience and things like that from the last 3 years being in a world car. But was there a sense of satisfaction where you thought these are the best notes I will probably ever have at the moment for this particular stage?
Yeah, we all knew Onampoja this year was going to be a massive challenge to do it in reverse. Because you know the forest quite well after doing it a few years the other direction. You know the landmarks. You can pick out houses and lakes and junctions, and you know where you're at. And you can easily get sucked into the knowing what speed you've done those corners in the opposite direction. But doing it the other way for the first time, a corner can so easily tighten up after that you don't realise, because you're doing the recce at 50, 60 kilometres an hour. You're coming in the rally car at 200, and it only takes the road to fractionally tighten up and you're gone. So yeah, there's a satisfaction of getting it right for sure. But it's not only the notes, the feeling has to be right. Paul has to be in the right frame of mind. I have to be in the right frame of mind. Everything has to come together. The feeling in the car has to be perfect. The setup has to be perfect. The engineers have to have done their job. It's a combination of everything, and that's probably the most satisfying, that there's so many elements, and when they all come together, the feeling's so good.
Perfect. Can we do a couple of questions from our listeners on Twitter? You're all right with that?
No problem. Keep
okay.
Green.
I will. What are you wearing? No, sorry. this is from a guy called Neil Parry. Has testing the faster car, the 17 WRC car, made things a little bit easier with the speed and reaction time in the 15 car?
I did say that to some people in Finland. For me, it's when you test a car that's obviously going to be faster. When you get back into the DS3, things do seem a little bit slower, and maybe that's the case where you can take it to the limit that little bit more. You know, it's like probably getting off a 750 motorbike and getting onto a 250 again. It's you're just able to extract that little bit more, and for me, that has been a factor. And for sure, in Portugal, the week before Portugal Rally, we were in Portugal with the 2017 car. We spent a full week testing it and then hopped in to do the rally in Portugal, and that was a little bit the feeling. In Finland, we were there 3 or 4 weeks before the rally with the new car, and yeah, that was I think that is a factor. But then again, you listen to the Volkswagen drivers, they're testing their 2017 car, and they complain a lot that they don't have the right feeling stepping out of it, hopping into their 16 car, because it upsets them a little bit. So, yeah, I think different drivers take different things from it. But for me, I think that has been a factor.
They're easily upset over in that Volkswagen camp, aren't they? That's to be said. I said they're not Chris.
They're very sensitive.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now I'll try and shorten some of these for you. John Carroll 100. Again, thanks for tweeting in, John. He's asked for your perfect WRC calendar. Now I won't take you through it, but is there any events perhaps you'd like to see back?
Yeah, a few of the island events maybe at the minute. I think it could be more enjoyable rallies, but for sure, number one, I'd love to see another tarmac rally. I'd love to see the Circuit of Ireland in there. It's a big disappointment that even as they seem to be struggling to get it back in the European Championship again. But for me, the World Championship needs a few more tarmac rallies. It can't just have, you know, you do Monty, which is not really a tarmac rally. It's more an ice and snow rally. You don't have to do your first tarmac rally to August. And for me, the Championship could be a little bit more rounded. Certainly, the Circuit of Ireland would be an incredible asset to the World Rally Championship. But also, Rally New Zealand, as everyone knows how beautiful the roads are down there. I've done the recce once many, many years ago, but I've never done the rally. I've never competed there. And that would be another dream to compete in a World Rally car in New Zealand. So, yeah, if we shuffled it about a little bit, and if we had Circuit of Ireland, New Zealand in there, I think we would be... Yeah, we've been in a really good way.
Okay, two more and then we'll let you go, Chris. We'll let you go and do what you do on your jollies, which you and Ryan know about and I don't, but I have seen pictures. I won't say any more than that. Again, everyone obviously always wants to know about the new car and stuff like that, but this is from Scott Newman, who sent in a couple of questions, but I'll just pick this one out. How much faster per kilometre is the new car over the current spec car?
Like I said earlier, we have never done a back-to-back, and it's, for us, it's not important. You know, you don't need to be relative current to the current cars. You need to be relative to the competition next year. So you forget about what speed is the DS3. Obviously, you try and take the ingredients that you know work in the DS3. We try and improve in areas we're not so strong. And you have to keep an open mind to try and create the best possible package possible. You know, possible for the. You know, for sure, Volkswagen are going to come very strong again with a new car. They rewrote the philosophy on how to build rally cars over the last few years. You know, they've been so dominant, and for sure we have to take a lot from that and move forward. But for us, it's not important, this gap to the old cars.
I'll help you out, Scott. It's a lot quicker than the Peugeot 106 he drove when he was driving against Ryan. There you go.
It is.
Last one, Chris, before we let you go. There's a headline this week about you trying to get pushing the bosses to perhaps let you do Wales Rally GB. Is there any more thoughts on that? Could that happen?
At the moment, it's not on our schedule, but. Yeah, this year's been a bit fluid in terms of rallies because we had to see how the testing was going, and it's going to become more and more intensive over the next few months. So it's, you know, if we hit any major problems along the way in the testing and you're committed to rallies and you needed to be focusing on that, we had to leave it open and fluid, and that's why this year our calendar wasn't really defined. So we'll see how it goes. Obviously I'd love to do as many rallies as possible, but we have to be focused on the bigger picture, and that's preparing for 2017. So yeah, we'll see over the next few weeks if how things materialize in the testing, but at the moment it's not on our calendar, unfortunately.
Do you know, with all the testing, this is me being nosy more than anything, Chris, with all the testing and everything you've done, and obviously, would you say you've probably spent more time in a wheel rally car in the last 2 years than you had previously in your entire life? Because you obviously, now you've got your program and you're testing, you're doing rallies and stuff like that, you must be in a rally car pretty much, you know, every week.
Yeah, I just got back home, and you know, in the last 3 weeks I've spent a lot of days inside a rally car. I think maybe 13 days in the last 3 weeks, so that's huge. And I don't think I've ever spent as much time behind the wheel, but that's what it takes. Last year, when we'd done the full World Championship, we only done 6 days testing. That's what we were limited to. And you know, this year it's just full on, and whatever it takes to make the best package possible. So for sure, seat time is what it's about. And if you know, as rally drivers, we cannot, as a sport where you can't wake up on a Monday morning at home and go and practice what we do, that's not possible. So to be involved in a big team like this and then full on for a new project, that's when you build up the kilometers, you grow with the car, you start to feel at one with it already, you even hit the first event. And we've seen that with Sebastian Ogier when he took his year out to develop the Volkswagen for their first season in 2013. And he came with the 15,000 kilometers under his belt already. And it's the same with Sebastian Loeb when they developed the Zaras and the C4s. He'd done all the testing the year before, and you arrive and hit the ground running. And I hope this is my opportunity to do the same, you know. But we'll see. It remains to be seen whether we can do enough to make it count. But yeah, certainly the seat time helps.
Good man. Listen, Chris, I really do appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us on Absolute Rally. We do appreciate it, my mate. Oh, have we lost Chris?
Hello.
Oh. Hello, sorry, we thought we'd lost you for a second there, Chris. It's all right.
No problem.
The bar's calling. listen, we appreciate your time, Chris. We really, really do. Thanks so much. And being as candid as ever when you come on and you answer the questions and stuff. So, thanks for your time.
No problem. Good man. Thanks, Ryan.
Cheers.
All
good
the best.
To
take care. Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Chris Meek. Again, as open and honest as he always is, and yeah, absolutely top man. Really enjoyed talking to Chris there.
Yeah, it's great when you really have got some time to talk to him, and he just opens up and lets you have a real insight to what it is to be a current front runner on WRC. You know, you can really see how he's grown in stature, he's grown in confidence, and now he's been given that opportunity. He's really running with it, and I think next year is going to be incredibly exciting, because he knows how good the Citroën team are. He knows they're focusing on rallying. Not only that, they're focusing on him, and you know, he's going to be in the best possible shape to take the fight to Volkswagen and Sebastian Ogier for next year's title.
This is the Absolute Rally Podcast. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate, call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766 787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com.
And welcome back to Absolute Rally, and it's welcome to I consider all our guests a friend of the show, but Chris is somebody I've known for a long time. Chris Rawls from Rawcast, and the man whose voice you'll probably recognise from ERC Radio, along with Julesy. Chris is normally there at stage end as well, and we thought it'd be a good time to get him on straight after Poland. We can have a chat about Poland, but there's lots of other stuff we want to talk to him about as well. So, Chris, for the first time, welcome to Absolute Rally.
I know, it's great to actually be invited on, Tony. I think anyone who's brought on to your podcast and your show is, I don't know, you seem, I feel like I've arrived now, but I should have the phone call from you to say, mate, is either you're struggling and you got to the bottom of the barrel and you thought, who should we have on this week, and you chose me, so you must be either a scraping the bottom of the barrel, or maybe I'm high in your expectations. I'm
not sure. High on my, I'll let you know who your guests or your fellow guests are on this week's podcast, because it's we haven't recorded yet. The way we record stuff now, I think the smoke and mirrors have been removed, but Chris Meek will have been on this program by this point. And also Mike Shaw from Open Paddock, who's been telling us all about the American Rally Championship. So, in fairness, you've been in quite good company. And obviously,
okay, that's good.
Obviously, you'd have Ryan and Jack as well. So you know, I think as a lineup goes, I think it's relatively strong.
I think we're pretty A-list this week, aren't we? We're definitely A-list. That's good. Okay, that's cool. That's great. I appreciate it.
now, listen, you do know I do listen to ERC Radio. And again, Poland has just happened this weekend. Now, Kaito just seemed to be on a completely different level. Was it just a whitewash like it looked like, or did Bouffier give him a bit more of a hard attack?
Well, ERC Poland, round 7 of the championship, 10 rounds this season. Poland, it was a new location that we've been to. We haven't been to Poland on the ERC since 2013. And when we were in 2013, when we were there, Kaito won it. And Kaito was relatively new to the ERC, and he was kind of this new chap that we didn't really know in 2013 when he won the event up in Mikawaiki. Now, that event in 2014 then switched from an ERC rally to a WRC event. So Poland's been off the calendar on the ERC for a couple of years, but we went down to this new place called Rzeszów, and it's taken me all week to be able to pronounce the name of it, even though you look at the spelling of it, it is nothing like the way you pronounce the rally name. So it's Rally Rzeszowski, I think, is the correct way to say it.
Just a few vodkas, to get you across that one.
Straight there. But yeah, Kaito, now you've got to think of Kaito, four-time Polish champion, and the Polish championship is pretty much on tarmac anyway. So he is really, even though he's defending ERC champion from 2015, he is a tarmac specialist. So he was pretty much billed to win the event from the start. But Brion Bouffier is 3 times Polish champion. And to bring him along as well, Bouffier obviously wanted to win the event. So the two of them, they were streets ahead of the other guy. So it was a bit of a Bouffier-Kaito battle this weekend, the Citroen versus the R5 Fiesta. And it all kind of went a bit wrong for Bouffier. They had a pre-event test, and Bouffier changed the setup of his Citroen, even though they tested the car, they were happy with it, and then he wanted to go back to the setup that he had prior to the test, just because, I don't know, for some reason he just thought the characteristics of the surface of the test it would have helped him in the event to be on a different setup. So he kind of, with the qualifying stage, it kind of all went a bit wrong there. And then in the first test of the event, the street stage, which was just over, just over 4 kilometers on Thursday evening, Kaito took something like 3.8 seconds out of Bouffier. Wow. Over 4 kilometers. Plus, Kaito had a spin in the street stage as well. So he's incredibly fast on that surface. So, yeah, you can say it was a bit of a whitewash with the Lotus Rally team this weekend. But fantastic. You know, the guy's leading the ERC Championship, and he hasn't won an event this season. So he's been on the podium, yes, but to have that win, as he said to us at the end of the stage, winning, this word, it means so, so much to me. And with Kajetan Kajetanovic, he's a bit of a personality of the ERC, but he is a really, really humble guy. And deep down, he's kind of very emotional, and he is now very relieved that he's won his first event this season, is now romping home towards his second ERC title in 2 consecutive years.
Now, I'm looking, and obviously Brian Bouffier was out in Brin Bouffier. I always call him Brian Bouffier. I'll be honest with you, I haven't got the ability to do the pronunciation like you. But
right. I just busk it. I just call Brion. It sounds a bit European, Brion. Doesn't it?
It does. Brion. It sounds very. Now I remember Brion from way back when he was testing with Proton. He was still doing the stuff with Peugeot, and I remember speaking to Chris Mellors about him, and he said he was a very, very special guy on tarmac. So for the Citroen to go there. And we all think of Citroën on tarmac, and we all think of the Frenchman on tarmac. So to go there, and I know it's Kaito's own backyard, but as you say, and he's done a lot of tarmac. I assume Kaito, you know, we had this conversation only on the podcast last week about you only have to go as fast, you only go as fast as you need to go to win. But gee whiz, he went very quick, didn't he?
Oh, he did indeed. He certainly did. And Brion, last time we saw him on the ERC was in Ypres, and he was doing really, really well there. You know, good battle then with Freddy Luix. Kaito was missing in Ypres because Ypres is a special, special tarmac event. And, you know, there's not much point blowing budget on an event that is going to be won by, you know, a bunch of Belgians. So they elected not to do that event. But Brion was there, tarmac specialist, doing well until he suffered with mechanical issues on the second and final day of Belgium. And so he is super, super quick, and he kind of was on target to win this one. He was very, very lucky. We must say he was extremely lucky to get away with actually finishing the event on just having a look at the map now, on stage 11. So 13 stages in Poland on the Rally Zhowski. Stage well 11, high speed assault on the senses through the tarmac stages, and a cat, lucky for sometimes if a cat runs across the road, but not very lucky for the cat in this incident. And it was unfortunately hit by Bouffier's car, which caused damage to the radiator matrix on the front of the Citroen. So arrived at the end of stage 11 with a water leak from the radiator, and it, you know, whenever you see water dripping out of the bottom of any rally car, it's not a good sign. So we thought possibly he might be retiring again, and you know, two rallies not finishing this next one in the championship. But I mean, these drivers, Xavier and Brian, thinking on their feet there, they had some chewing gum with them in the car. So using chewing gum and chewing it as much as they could, getting all the sugar off the chewing gum, they actually managed to plug the gap, because chewing gum becomes more sticky once you've got the sugar content out of it. So they used the
I like
the
science.
Gum
to, I like science, yeah. And rallying at the same time.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
So they managed to plug the gap and stem that water leak, which got them to the end of the stage, despite they still had high water temperature alarms at the end of stage 13, but they did get through and were very lucky to finish the rally. But the cat, unfortunately, didn't restart on day two.
Okay, I see what you did there. Unfortunately, it was probably on its ninth life already, and I think that's probably what went on there. But the poor pussycat, our thoughts go obviously to the pussycat owners. Now, one man I have been interested in, I know I'm not doing this to set you up in any way, shape, or form, but I know Jules, he had a terrible time with the pronunciation of this guy, and it's the first, it's an R4 car, isn't it, these days?
Right.
He was seventh overall. And he was a Polish driver, and his Subaru Poland rally team. And I'm not even going to attempt this one because it's a standing joke about my pronunciation.
You can do this.
I seem to remember Jules, he kind of doing it phonetically, where it was like, yeah, Chuckler or something like that.
Wojciech Huhała.
Wojciech Huhała.
Again, like Polish, you could just put any old letters down on the start list and it's pronounced completely different. But he is a really, really nice guy. Wojciech Huhała. We saw him. He's actually competed in the Polish championship in an R5 Fiesta previously. A really, really nice guy, leading ERC2 at the moment, which is the production car category. So, not dissimilar from the road going vehicles with a bit of beefed up safety roll cage and the other odds and sods on there. But Wojciech Huhała is incredibly quick. He hasn't won. We haven't seen him for the past two rallies. He wasn't in Estonia, and he wasn't. Where were we before Estonia? I'm just trying to have a look. Somewhere else, weren't we? We were in Ypres before Estonia. So he wasn't on those two events, but Wojciech Huhała. So much so, what he did, he's got like a hashtag Huhała, kind of little sticker to go with his Twitter account. And he actually, to help Julian, stuck a sticker on the side of Julian's Citroen Cactus car, just so it was like imprinted in his brain on how to pronounce his name. Really nice guy, but following also in the footsteps of Kaito. So much so, I think he uses the same personal trainer and almost uses, is seeing Kaito as the benchmark for how he should be as a driver in the future, which is interesting to watch. But Kaitanovic, if we go back to 2013, the first round in Jena Rally in Austria for the new look ERC promoted by Eurosport Events, the first event there, we saw a guy that we couldn't pronounce his name either, driving a Subaru from Poland. And we were like, who is this guy? He's really quick in ERC too, but who is he? Well, that guy was actually Kajetan Kajetanovic. Next time we saw him, he was competing in Poland later that year on the gravelly stuff up in Mikołajki, and he won that event. So, Wojciech Huhała is definitely one to watch in the future.
Yeah, as I say, I wasn't doing it on purpose, but I remember Julesy, I was listening to
which we're going to talk about in a second, but obviously you guys do ELC radio, and I do tune in when I can. It's great to have it on the app and everything else, and as I'm travelling about, and I just put it on at the exact moment where Julian was trying to pronounce his name for the first time, and it stuck with me. I was going through the results over the weekend. I thought, I'm going to have to ask Chris this one. I'm going to have to ask this Chris one. So listen, moving on from Poland, our next round is, I'm trying to remember where the next round is now.
Czech Republic, the Barum Czech Rally Zlin. Yeah, in Zlin, Czech Republic. So another tarmac event, and that's going to be round 8 of 10, as we say. So Barum Rally is the last tarmac rally of the season, and it's always a specialist one. With the ERC, more or less wherever we go with the ERC, we get a bunch of local drivers that all get involved in the rally. So
be a Skoda Fest that one morning. It will be a Skoda Fest.
Definitely. But a brilliant rally to go to. It's kind of an industrial area. The ERC goes to some fabulous locations, you know, as far west as the Azores, deep into the Atlantic Ocean. In fact, we're halfway to America when we go to the Azores. The furthest west you'll go in Europe. And then furthest east we go is over to Cyprus for the final round of the season. But we're on tarmac at the moment. We're sort of in the Eastern Europe sort of zone as we speak. But Barum Rally, a specialist event, and bumpy top.
This is Absolute Rally. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. It's good to be back. It's good to be back with friend of the show, Championship Manager of the BRC, the man whose ear I bend on quite a regular basis, but I think he loves me, really, but there you go. Ian Campbell, Championship Manager of the BRC. Welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Thank you, Tony. It's good to know that you've moved into your house, because it has been quiet for the last 9-10 days, because I haven't had my ear bent. It's been fine.
I know. You know what? There's so many people that have rang me to make sure I'm okay. He said, he's not heard from you. I was like, no. One, I haven't got phone signal proper where we are. We didn't have broadband. We didn't have anything. And I was just, I think I've used the analogy before now. I've got the enthusiasm and the love for the house is the same as the guy from the Amityville horror movies, which is not the same murderous tendencies, although some delivery drivers did push my buttons just a little bit. But
your partner will be delighted to hear.
Yeah, she's fine. Heather's all right. She's all right. Bless her. And I have set up my rally seat and everything now. So I've actually, all over the weekend, I've been playing dirt. I've got my seat set up, my steering wheel. Only on tarmac, though, to get ready for the Isle of Man. That's how dedicated I am. Because unfortunately, I won't be joining you on Ulster. That was never part of our programme. And you're getting ready for Ulster. Now, a couple of things. We've got a little bit with Chris Rawls this week and maybe a little bit next week, who's just announced that he's going to be doing the coverage with friend of the show, Zav, and also Tony Kelly from over there on the Emerald Isles. And so tell us a little bit about, firstly, Rally Radio coming back to the BRC and for Ulster.
Yeah, I mean, we're delighted about this. It's something that we have been trying to work towards, you know, for the whole of the year. There's so much that we've tried to do this year. There's so much we've wanted to do, but you know, at points we can't do everything all at once. So the opportunity was there with Chris for the Ulster Rally, and it's come about not only through the British Rally Championship, also with the support from John Mulholland Motors and from the Tarmac Championship as well, the Irish Championship guys. So all three of us have contributed to make Rally Radio work. We're really looking forward to hearing what is there. And also it means that I'll be able to hear firsthand about this challenge between the Irish Tarmac guys and the BRC guys, because we got beaten in the Circuit of Ireland. Alistair Fisher came home first of all in the Irish Tarmac, so it's 1-0 to them at the moment, and we can't end the season on a 2-0 deficit. It's got to go in at least on a draw.
I like that, and as a Scotsman, you know all about that anyway, because you've never got through to finals in anything, have you?
We're really good at clutching defeat from the jaws of victory.
I love that. I love that. Now, the reason why I wanted to speak to you about this week was with regards to the calendar, which has been announced today. And on Wednesday, when our podcast will either be falling into your computers or your iPads or your Android phones, wherever it is, if it's fell in on Wednesday, brilliant. It means I've pulled my finger out with a few bits and pieces, but it could drop in on Thursday. But today, the calendar for BRC for 2017, do you want to take us through it?
Yeah, I mean, the idea of getting the calendar out now is it gives people time to plan and to get ready for next year. It's also we're starting off. We've got seven rallies over 7 months, starting in Mid Wales in March, finishing on Rally Isle of Man in September. With a couple of tweaks in between, we've unfortunately lost the Circuit of Ireland, which is a real disappointment to absolutely everybody. And we hope that Bobby and the team get their plans together for 2018, which I know he's working on hard already. And so it would be great if we could welcome them back. So we start in Mid Wales. We go to the Pirelli at the end of April. First change to the calendar is the Scottish Rally, which is moved from its traditional date to 20th of May. So that will be a change from normal. And the reason it's moved is to accommodate the British Rally Championship round, where we'll be taking on the Belgian Rally Championship competitors when we go to Ypres.
Wow.
Which will be, really, really looking forward to that one. Myself and Ben Taylor were out there on Friday, just catching up with Alan Panas and Jan as marketing manager, just to go over the final details before announcing the calendar. And we went through a couple of the stages, which you start to get a flavour of what that event is about for the stages. And then sat down for a coffee in the square and to catch up from there. And the whole atmosphere that would seem to be at that event is phenomenal. The competitors that we've spoken to about it already are excited about it. We've not had any negative comments coming back to us. Everybody's seeing it as an adventure, if you like, something to go and dip into the atmosphere. And then thereafter we go to the Nicky Grist in July. It's moving back a week, so we've got a bit more time between Ypres and Nicky Grist. That was something that I think you mentioned maybe in a phone call at one point.
I think I probably explained to you about that one, yeah.
Yeah, so we do listen, honest.
Yeah.
So we're going from there. And then Ulster, 18th, 19th of August. And finish off on Rally Isle of Man. Now, Rally Isle of Man will, this year it's worth double points. Again, be worth double points in 2017, but we're actually making it so that each leg is a counting round. So end of leg one, 25 points to the winner. End of leg two, 25 points to the winner. And that's the other thing we've changed, is we're taking on board the feedback we've had on the point system that we've had this year, which is very much rewarded winning. It's been 25 points for a winner, 15 points for second, 10 points for third, which is a big gap in between each one. So we're adopting the FIA scoring system in 2017 of 25, 18, 15, 12, 10, and so on throughout the top 10 overall and in the classes. And the Joker points, whether people love or loathe the Joker nomination, I happen to like it this year. I've liked the stories that it's created. Perhaps we've been too adventurous with going that the Joker is worth double points. Because if you don't win on your Joker round, it really is quite a sore result. But by not getting two losses of 25 points. So next year, if you play your Joker, it's available to the top five and overall or in your class, and it goes down 5-4-3-2-1. So it's still got a significance and will still play a part in the overall championship, but it's still got a talking point about it. So that's the basis of the calendar for next year and the basis of the points. We've got a lot of things that we have to work on, and an awful lot of things that come back to conversations that we've had, Tony, and for meetings that we had back in Manchester and catching up with the guys that we meet in all the rounds, and taking that feedback and to learn from it and to develop it. So, yeah, a heck of a lot of work to do between now and March next year. But this year has been good from our perspective. It's certainly been bigger and better than we anticipated, which is fantastic. But now we need to take that on and go further with it.
Nicky Grist, again, I love the format of it. It's still going to be a gravel and tarmac.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in conversation with the organisers at the Nicky Grist about the exact format of it. I know that that there were things over that weekend that didn't work. It was very adventurous what they went to do. Like you, loved the format and thought it was great. To me, and I've spoken to Neil Cross, the clerk of the course, and the organisers, it really, if anything fell down on the event, it was just bits of detail. The overall concept was absolutely fantastic. And work really well from there, but we need to look at just how the mechanics of the whole thing go together. And if we've learned a lot this year, they've learned a lot as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, I've said this all along, and even when we spoke about the Nicky Grist stages after I'd done it, and what the guys there and what Neil had to deal with trying to make that work, because it was a kind of just throw it at the wall and see what happens. And I was quite vocal, but I had to give those guys credit, and it was always going to be difficult to put that on. I don't think anybody was under any illusions how difficult it was going to be.
The basic format was adventurous, and then they had a few incidents over the 2 days which would have delayed things or caused any organiser some issues at the time, and they dealt with them really, really well. But all it does is it highlights other areas from there. So no, it wasn't disastrous in any way, and I've very much said that to the guys. It was good. I thoroughly enjoyed the event. And what we need to do is we just need to sit down, as we do with all the rallies, and make sure that we work with them closer for the future. And we all try to deliver what you guys are looking for.
Exciting. I must admit, I had an inkling something was obviously going to happen with the calendar, but I kept it to myself, and I'm excited. I must admit, I was slightly sceptical when I heard different things mooted about possible overseas events and stuff like that, but I can see the value of it. It's been explained to me by a couple of people, and Ryan being one of them, in fairness, because obviously when Ryan was doing the pay as you one makes and stuff like that, they regularly went outside of the British Isles with that particular championship, and it worked really well for those guys.
And we hope that it will do for us as well. I mean, where we are is we've had a 23 R5 or Super 2000 competitors registered this year. We've had 16 juniors registered this year, and that's a big market and within the UK for homologated cars, and guys have got the budget and the ambition to do the British Rally Championship. And if we were to grow this championship, for these competitors, we need to take it overseas so that they can see how a foreign event works from that perspective. But we also need to take our tools, our baby, the British Rally Championship, we need to take that to the overseas competitor as well and show off what we have and what we can, what we can present, what we can show, and what we can also deliver. And maybe we can then start to grow the British Rally Championship again. And that's certainly what Alan Panas, who's the manager of Ypres Rally, has seen within the championship, and he reckons that by moving in with them, we can we can maybe get to these end goals in the near future. It's certainly going to be very confusing in June, because it's the British Rally Championship and the Belgian Rally Championship. I think they're official BRC, and we're MSA_BRC on Twitter, so I'm lost already.
I shall look forward to it. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about the new calendar for 2017. I know it'll open up some debates, which is good, which is what we want. We want people talking. This is what we're all about as well. So if anyone's got any thoughts on the new calendar, by all means, where we live, it's Absolute_Rally on Twitter, and of course on facebook.com/AbsoluteRally. Send us your thoughts on that when you've listened to the podcast. But without further ado, Ian Campbell, I will let you go now, because I know you were parking your car, and you were quickly trying to find a car parking space in order to come on. So I appreciate your time as ever, sir.
Not at all. I will go and leave you to dirt so that you can practice for the mic stages, and we'll look forward to seeing you over there.
Ian Campbell, always a joy. Thanks for joining us on Absolute Rally.
Catch you later. Cheers, mate.
This is Absolute Rally. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks.
Trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 441904-766-787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. And again, to be fair, and there's nothing to do with Brendan Reeves, but as Brendan pointed out last week, we've been very WRC and we've been very BRC heavy, and we try to spread our wings into other parts of the world. And obviously we've had David Higgins on in the past, we've had Craig Drew, and we've had the great Bill Wood who always gave us some insight, and even Niall Burns, one of the Irish co-drivers who was competing out in the States, along with Martin Brady. But there's been so much going on with regards to the future of the American Rally Championship, and a friend of the show who does listen, he downloads the podcast and he always gets involved and sends us some information is Mike Shaw from Open Paddock. And I thought, you know what, rather than try and regurgitate what Mike kind of sends us, why don't we just get Mike on? You know, he's a friend of the show, we might as well. So welcome for the first time, Mike, and it won't be the last time, believe you me. Mike Shaw of Open Paddock, welcome to Absolute Rally.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me. And actually, it's not my first time. You actually called me about the Oregon Trail Rally.
We did. That was under our old name, though. That was,
yes, it was.
That's when we were called Total Rally. And obviously, we went through some rebranding and everything. So technically, it is the first time. Not that I'm splitting hairs with you, Mike, because you're a guest, and I'd never do that. But listen, you've been a great source of information for us for the Rally America series. And obviously, there's been some stories breaking with regards to what's going to happen to the future of the championship and how it lies now, and maybe what Subaru do next and things like that. And as I said at the top of the intro there, I thought it'd be good to get you on because you seem to be all over this. Just tell our listeners, you know, obviously we do have listeners all over, just what's going on at the moment with the Rally America series.
Well, see, this is something that's been maybe kind of oncoming for a little while. So Rally America, they took over the championship from what was then run by Sports Car Club of America, SCCA Pro Rally. After some injuries and things like that, they struggled with insurance. They dropped it. Rally America took over in 2005. Then there's a little bit of a transition about 5-6 years ago. Bill Fogg Sr. is the one that took over the Rally America branding and kept the series going on. It's been the American Championship. Right now we have 8 rounds that are part of the Rally America Championship, of which, you know, those of you listeners that have heard David Higgins, who's been really dominant here with the Factory Subaru team, who's really backed the series quite a bit. You know, it's been a good run. But from other points of view, from maybe some of the regional guys, from organizers, there's been a brewing disgruntlement, I guess you could call it, with maybe some of the decision-making, costs going up, maybe without people understanding what those costs are going to. And a little over a year ago, there was a new association that came up that said that they were going to try and, you know, become a new sanctioning body. But it kind of came to nothing. It came and went. Everybody kind of joked about the idea that, you know, you're just never going to be able to overturn what Rally America has already established. And then, as we heard last week, this American Rally Association suddenly pops up and it's got teeth. Already 4 of the existing 8 rounds that are part of Rally America has said they're going to move over to this American Rally Association as its sanctioning body. So what makes the American Rally Association different? Different from what was tried a year ago, this group has Tim O'Neill. Tim O'Neill of Team O'Neill is going to be heading this up. And he created as a not-for-profit over here. And kind of like even as the FIA does it, you know, they've got kind of the education background they got for it is that, you know, kind of like the FIA Action for Road Safety stuff. That's kind of going to be kind of the focus for this. But one reason for having a nonprofit is the books have to be open legally, right? So that means the people that are members of this and the competitors will be able to know what the money's kind of going to. So that's kind of I like that aspect to it. And then you've got where they're going to have everything kind of committee-based. The organizers will have more of a say. You'll have, of course, members from competitors, all that stuff, all kind of make it very democratic. That sounds all great, but they've only got 4 of these 8 rounds that have now committed to them. And it sounded like in their press release last week, I'm just going to read just a real short bit here. They actually said, Tim O'Neill said, "We appreciate the hard work and dedication put forth by many of the sport of rally over the years to get it to where it is today. ARA specifically appreciates Bill Fogg Sr. and Rally America in their efforts to continue rally in the United States the last few years by providing sanctioning and insurance. We look forward to working with Rally America during the transition period over the next several months as we prepare for the 2017 season." Now, what's interesting about that statement is that would make you assume, oh, Rally America, it looks like, you know, they've kind of seen the light at the end of the tunnel. Somebody's going to be kind of taking over these organizations. The organizers of these different events have gotten frustrated to the point it's kind of a coup. They're just going to take over. Let's just make it easy and get it done with, right? Not so fast. Then a few days later after that press release, Rally America releases their own statement saying that they're going to continue with their championship in 2017, and specifically saying Rally America does not have any form of partnership with, nor does it have any transition plan with any other organizations hoping to provide sanctioning in the sport of rally. Well, that's some saber rattling. So it appears Rally America is not going to go quietly into the night. I don't see how either series can survive with four rounds.
I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit, because I spoke to guys out doing the Canadian series and stuff, and I know Martin Rowe quite well, and obviously he did some bits and pieces out there, and I've spoke to a couple of other guys who've done the American Championship as well. And from a clubman point of view, it's the logistics of cost of doing Rally America and also the Canadian Rally Championship, but we'll use Rally America because that's what we're talking about at the moment, is just eye-watering. You know, you can be traveling for days on end and stuff like that to get to events. Now, maybe if it was broken up into smaller sections, that might actually be its savior rather than...
From the regional guys' standpoint, I would agree with you, but that does not make a good national championship.
No.
I mean, the core of a national championship is a points-based system where you go to these different rounds all over the place, uh-huh. Right? So for the national competitors... that doesn't work. I'm sure that we have NASA Rally Sport, which really focuses on the grassroots rallies. They're different events, usually a little bit shorter, and they do a championship where it's guys that win one of those regional events, they're automatically invited to a single finale event that whoever wins that is their national champion.
Right.
That's not really a national championship in my view. You know?
No.
So I understand. Yes, you're right. We're a massive country, just like Canada is. You know, going from border to border, very expensive. You can do some things to try and time the events so they're not crossing back and forth all the time. Give them enough time to fix the cars in between rounds. That kind of thing that can help a bit. But yeah, it is always going to be a challenge with any. Motorsport here in the States just because of the size we are. But this is where you get into that challenge. And either series, either sanctioning body is going to have this challenge, is the regional guys kind of versus the national guys. They have different interests.
This is Absolute Rally. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
I do think I could have probably spoke to all our guests probably for about another 3 hours this week, but that wouldn't make much of a podcast really, would it? It's just me wittering on and everything else, which is the end section of the programme now. And we do thank all our guests. Obviously, we... Ryan and Jack at the top, and then obviously we went over to Chris Meek congratulating him on what was a fantastic result on Rally Finland, and then went over to Chris Rawls, of course, getting coverage from Rally Poland. And we're going to have another section with Chris next week. He's going to be talking to us about Rally Radio and what's going to be happening on the Ulster Rally, and also how drones have come more into play now on coverage of rallying across the world. And then we went over to Mike Shaw, and we do thank Mike Shaw. I had a really, really good chat with Mike. I just wanted to kind of burrow down and get to the bottom of what was going on with the Rally America series, and I think Mike kind of cleared it up for us, but it's still clear as mud, I guess, in many ways of what's going to happen moving forward with that particular championship. But hey ho, stay tuned, keep downloading the podcast, and you never know, we might get to the bottom of what the future is for Rally America moving forward. But we do appreciate all our contributors and all the people who dare go involved with the program. Thank you all so much again for downloading the show. As I say, it's 12 months since we've become Absolute Rally. It's been a hard graft. We do hope you appreciate it. We're always looking for people to get involved, and if you feel you can get involved and maybe come in, we're perhaps looking for maybe a little bit of a title sponsor at some point. We appreciate the guys at Team Coordinate, what they do for us, but as I say, we're always trying to find some ways of supporting the podcast to keep it free for you guys. And as I say, we wouldn't want to charge you, because you probably wouldn't pay, but by the same token, it would still be great if we could get some people involved from the rally community. But there you go. Anyway, I am wittering on. It has been a joy to bring this very, very busy show to you. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been a cracking second episode of season 5, and as I say, I think Pressure's probably on us now for season 3. But thanks for the download, folks. You know where we live. It's @_rally, of course, on Twitter, and on Facebook, it's facebook.com/absoluterally. Again, spread the word, tell your friends. Thanks for the download.